speaking on this program is Brother Kevin T.
A match that is made in heaven. You know, the most important decision that an individual can make in life is to become a Christian. When an individual puts Christ on in baptism, their sins are washed away. They are given a relationship with our God and our Creator. And then we are able to have hope beyond this life of an eternal life in heaven with our God someday. I believe that the second most important decision that an individual makes in life is the individual that they will marry. Guys, I want to encourage you that as you choose someone to spend your life with, is that you consider what it is that God says, as well as an individual who will make you happy throughout the course of your life. To the ladies, in like figure, I want you to consider what God says concerning a relationship that will be pleasing unto Him, but then also to consider an individual who will make you happy, who will love you throughout the course of your life here. Marriage is indeed very important. I read a statement that was presented that said that a sign that was on a marriage clerk's window said that I have gone out for lunch and I will be back by 1 o'clock. Think it over. Individuals who are going to get married need indeed to think it over, to take it very serious. Why? Because marriage is indeed a very serious matter in the sight of God, and you and I need also to take it very serious. What do we learn in regard to what the Bible says or teaches us about marriage? From the Bible, we learn that marriage is indeed the oldest institution upon the face of this earth. There are three institutions that are originated by God: marriage, or the home, as well as government and the church. The youngest of the three is the church. And the church is very important to our lives as Christians. Why? Because whenever we put Christ on in baptism, the Lord adds us unto His church, Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. And we must be a part of the Lord's church in order for us to maintain a relationship with God here, but also in order for us to be able to dwell eternally in heaven with our God, according to what the Apostle Paul teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24. When the end comes, the church will be delivered back unto our God and our Father. And God wants us to understand that when it comes to this institution, the church, that it is indeed important to Him and that it must also be equally significant in our lives. But what about government? The middle of the institutions that God has ordained or established, government also is important to God. We understand, according to what is taught in the book of Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, is that it was established by God and that they ought to operate under the standards of God. Yet at the same time, we understand that our government is struggling at best to do that. And we need to be praying for our government that they would recognize God and that they would indeed surrender and submit to the will of God and that they will lead us according to godliness. But when we think in regard to government, God says is that they were instituted for our protection, that they are there to provide security for us whenever it comes to those individuals who would act as our enemies, both internally as well as externally. But then in like figure, God tells us that we need to submit to the rule of our governing officials, that we need to render unto Caesar, if you would, what belongs to Caesar. We need to pay our taxes and that we need to abide by the laws of the land so long as those laws do not contradict the laws of God. Government is by all means very important to God. And friends, government also must be important to you and me as we seek to be pleasing and acceptable to God. But what about marriage and the home? The home is a very vital part of God's plan for our existence here in this world. The home and marriage is a very vital part, not only of God's plan, but friends, it is to be seen as a very significant part of our lives. For a man and a woman to come together as a husband and wife is a very serious matter, and God wants us to understand the seriousness and the sanctity in regard to the marriage relationship. You see, marriage was designed by the Creator who gives forth every good thing. Marriage is good. Why? Because of its designer. God produces nothing that is bad. But friends, God is the designer and the creator of everything that is good. James chapter 1 and verse 17. And marriage is good also because of the purpose it brings two who love one another together and allows them to begin a life with each other and to share throughout the entirety of their life this love and this union that has brought them together as a husband and wife. And marriage is good because of all of the blessings that we read are provided in Scripture in the marriage relationship, but then also those of us who are married, we are able to say that marriage is good because of the blessings that we experience individually and together as a husband and wife. Who has the right to regulate? Who has the right to say as to what can or cannot take place in regard to the marriage relationship? We live in an age today where that man is seeking to make laws that are changing on an ongoing basis in regard to marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And man says that man can divorce for any reason under the sun and marry whomever they would desire to marry. And also we understand that whenever it comes to our governing officials, that not only are they saying that man and woman are able to marry whoever they want to marry, another male or another female, they're also saying that two men are able to be joined together as a husband and wife, or that two females are also able to do that. Friends, I tell you that man makes laws, and man has always sought to make laws that are contrary to the laws of our God. God alone has the right to regulate, has the right to commission as to what is pleasing and acceptable and as to what is right according to His standards. And, friends, whenever we stand before God in judgment, it is His standards that you and I must comply with. And therefore, not only whenever it comes to our life, but whenever it comes to even our marriage relationship, therefore we need to adhere to the laws of our God. The Bible also identifies for us as that marriage in its appointment by God is to be identified and to be maintained as a monogamous relationship, in that a couple, a husband and wife, must love one another with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength, only second to God. God is to be the recipient of our ultimate love. All of our heart, soul, mind, and strength need to be focused upon Him. And then second to that would be our mate, and we need to love our mate in an agape sense. And what does that mean? It means that we need to have a love that loves enduring. We need to have a love that loves sacrificially. And we need to have a love that loves without end for our mate. And we also then, in regard to our monogamous relationship, we need to honor one another on a continual basis and to cherish each other and to sacrifice for one another, and then to remain faithful sexually to our mate continually throughout the entirety of our life here. Friends, also, the Bible tells us that marriage was instituted to be a lifelong covenant involving two souls. I read a short story in regard to a couple who had their 50th wedding anniversary. And in fact, my mom and dad had their 50th wedding anniversary this past year, and I know Ashley and Carolyn also celebrated here and amongst us 50 wonderful years. And in the story I was reading, the husband and wife, the husband was beside himself because of the celebration that the family was going to host in their honor for the 50 years that they had celebrated or been able to enjoy with one another. And he wanted to give some sort of a speech or a recognition in regard to his relationship with his wife. And his wife was a little bit hard of hearing. And the husband gives his speech, and at the close of his speech he says, "My wife and her love is just so amazing, and it's been wonderful to be able to be married to her." And says, "Our love has been tried and it is true." And of course, to the seriousness of the occasion, the wife wanted to make sure she heard him right. She said, "Could you say that again? I'm not sure that I heard you correctly." And he says, "My relationship with my wife has been wonderful, and our love has been tried and true. And the wife speaks up in a very perplexed manner, and she says, I'm tired of you too. Marriage is to be like a violin. When the music stops, the strings are still attached. Marriage is a very serious and in the sight of God, and marriage must also be seen as a very serious covenant. A promise is what a covenant is. Whenever two people give their vows that I will be with you until death do us part, we need to take those vows very serious because God also takes them serious. According to what the Bible says, whenever we stand before God in judgment, we will be judged according to His divine standards in that day when it comes to all of our lives. But friends, today I stress that whenever it comes to our marriage relationship, as to how we have loved our mate, even if we've stayed with them throughout the course of our life, God will judge us if we've not treated them well. We need to take it serious and also then to love our mate in such a way that he or she will know without question. And then when we stand before God in judgment, God will praise us for the blessing that we brought forth to our mate while we are here. But friends, also I contend, and I believe with all of my heart that this is taught in Scripture, that God will judge those individuals who are involved in an unscriptural marriage relationship. They will stand accountable for God and be condemned in that day because they have violated the law and the seriousness and the sanctity in regard to what God says concerning marriage. What do we find in regard to the purpose of marriage? What does God, why did He design it as He did? Friends, marriage is the divine avenue that has been set forth for sexual relationship to be brought forth. God has created us as sexual human beings, and in that I mean is that He has given us sexual desires as well as needs. And I want us to understand that not only has He created us as such, He has also created us in such a fashion and commands us that we need to control ourselves with these desires as well as with the needs. Why? Because according to what God charges, God says that the only place wherein that these desires and these needs can and must be met is within the marriage relationship. And whenever two couple come together in that union as a husband and wife, physically to be able to meet those needs and to fulfill those desires, God praises them. Why? Because God sets that forth as a blessing for the bringing together of a man and a woman, a husband and a wife. But also I believe that the Bible teaches us that marriage is the place, it is the proper arrangement for raising a family. A husband and a wife bring forth, if you would, a completion to the home. I most certainly understand is that there are circumstances wherein that people live in a single capacity, and that's all well and good. But friends, we learn early on in the book of Genesis chapter 2 is that God says that it's not good for man to be alone. Not only is it not good for man to be alone, it's also not good for the woman to be alone. And therefore God brings them together as a husband and wife so that their home is complete, and so that they're able to enjoy a relationship with one another. And a blessing that comes forth off of this union and out of this relationship is children. Children are indeed a heritage or a blessing from the Lord. I'm reminded of what Eve said in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 1 and verse 2. Whenever she identified is that she has conceived with her relationship with Adam, the Bible identifies to us is that she says that I have received a man from the Lord. And she wasn't speaking about Adam, guys. She was speaking about the child. What is it that she is saying? She's saying that God has granted me a gift in giving me a child through my relationship with Adam. And most certainly children are indeed a gift, a blessing that God places within the home for a husband and a wife. And the mother and father play very significant roles, individually as well as collectively together. Children need their mother. Why? Because oftentimes it is the mother who's able to relate with them whenever they're dealing with circumstances or situations in life. But equal to needing the mother, children need the father. They need the love of the father. They also need the companionship of the father. They in life even need the discipline of the father. The mother and father together in the home, working with one another, loving each other, but also loving their children, raising them in a way that will assist them to become productive citizens in society. For friends, also Christian husband and wife, mother and father, working together as a unit to rear their children according to the ways of God. Most certainly will be pleasing to God, but in like figure will be a blessing to the home. The marriage relationship provides an amazing component for companionship. It is said that the individuals who marry need to marry their best friend. And for the sake of me, I cannot imagine meeting somebody over the internet and marrying them a few weeks later, like what we hear oftentimes today. There's not any time for a friendship, much less love, to come together, as I would see it. And some people say, well, it's love at first sight. What I have there is that I believe that it's maybe a connection at first sight, an infatuation at first sight. But friends, love and friendship takes time to develop. And for that reason, those who are dating, you need to understand that you're going to marry the individual that you date, and that you need to take very serious that opportunity that is laid before you to date, and then also to develop a friendship that will grow into a relationship, and then also that you will share as a companionship after you become a husband and wife. The wife completes the man, and the man completes the woman. Not only from a sexual standpoint, but in like figure, the two become one in the way in which they think, in the way in which they plan, in the way in which they maneuver throughout the course of their life. They grow as one from time to time. Dawn will be able to finish my sentence, or I will be able, well, I think I'm able to finish hers sometimes. In that we grow together as a husband and wife, and what a beautiful opportunity God gives us in this marriage relationship to be able to have and to share companionship with an amazing person throughout the course of our time here. The marriage and the home also serves as a training ground for building stronger homes. Families teach and train families. And what I mean by that is that whenever we have our children in our home and we're educating them not only to be productive citizens in society, but also servants in the body of Christ, we are setting standards. We're teaching them. We're training them. Showing them, if you would, the way, giving them the path that is necessary for them to have a mate that they will love, giving them the components that is necessary in order for them to have a successful family unit. How often do we stop to think about that as we're dealing with ourselves or our couple as a husband and wife, about the little children that God's placed into our care? Do we view that as a training ground as to helping them for building a strong home that will be pleasing to God, also that will be an essential element here in this world? You see, also, according to what the Bible teaches, marriage is the pattern that God wants the world to embrace. Friends, we live in a world today that needs Christ. The world has always needed Christ because of sin. But the world needs Christ, as I said. Our government and even modern man is saying it's okay to marry, divorce, and remarry for whatever reason. And so many people today are even saying that whenever it comes to same-sex marriage, is that it's just good, let's go with the flow, don't rock the boat. And friends, why is that? It's because they do not have a relationship, a true love and relationship with our God through Jesus Christ. And the world needs Christ. And the world also then needs Christ-centered homes, Christian homes, who will display before the world what it really and truly means, not only to be a Christian, but friends, what it means to be and what it means to have a home that is based off of the standards of God. But you see also, I believe the Bible teaches that the marriage relationship in the home is a foundation upon which the Lord's church will thrive. We need your homes as an eldership and as a congregation for the future of this congregation. The congregation here at East End has always been noted as being a very strong congregation. Why? Because of the leadership, as well as because of the commitment of the membership. And we have some amazing families here who are doing just a phenomenal job in raising your children according to godliness. This last week during the gospel meeting, so many of you were here, but also your children were here, and I tried to get around to some on Thursday night and to thank the kids for coming in their commitment. And what we do in the home will not only reflect in the world, but friends, it will also impact the church for future generations. It affects us today, but it will have a profound influence upon where the church stands tomorrow. And for that reason, parents need to take very serious not only their relationship, but all that is entailed in regard to their relationship and as they are seeking to raise their children. They raise them according to God. How is it then that individuals, a husband and wife, a man and a woman, is going to be able to have a successful relationship so that they can be with one another until death only they part? A couple must truly love one another. It is said that love is blind, but it's also said that marriage opens up the eye. There are things that we cannot know about one another, or we should not know about one another until we get married. Amen? And Dawn and I, we've been married for, I'll just say it this way, over 25 years. And over the first few years that we were married, there were things that I had not said or done around her that she learned about me. And she was not completely satisfied with that. You've heard me say before that there were some things that I said and did that were classified as sin. And Dawn is very material in regard to where I am today and striving to live a Christ-like life. She would say, can you see Jesus acting like that or talking like that? Why did she continue on and continue even to present those things to me? Because of a sincere love. Her eyes were open in regard to things that were not right in my life, but still it was love that drove her to continue to love me and also then to keep our relationship intact. But also, successful relationship involves a couple that honors their covenant union. The best marriage involves two servants, and the worst marriage involves two masters. Couples who want to have total control, they're not going to get along. They're not going to honor one another in the relationship. They're always going to be at odds with each other. And friends, the Bible identifies is that the husband is to be the head of the house. And men, I want to share with you, if you don't already recognize this, is that it does not mean that we are to be dictators in the house. But what it means is that we are to lead our house according to godliness. It means also that we have the responsibility of protecting our family. It also means that we have the role to play wherein that we will make the final decision whenever it comes to matters. But we also have the responsibility to recognize the wife and the things and the needs that she has, and then to meet those needs as the head of the house. When both parties try to wear the pants, there's going to be problems. We need couples who are seeking for success to honor their covenant union with one another. But also, a couple that is committed to remaining pure to one another will be well on their way to a successful marriage. It is said that the wedding ring is a small piece of jewelry that's placed on the ringer, the finger, to cut off your circulation. Now, you can take it two ways. I guess it can be on there so long that it might cut off the circulation of the finger. That's not the way I'm using it today. To cut off your circulation, There's no longer eyes for somebody else. There's no longer guys saying, that girl was pretty. Ladies, there's no longer looking at other guys and saying, he's handsome. We have eyes and a heart and a mind only for the one that we are pledging our love for. And how long does that last? It lasts throughout the entirety of our existence here. And we need to do all that God commands us to do and all that we should want to do and all that our spouse requires of us to live pure within that relationship that we have with them. But then also, a couple who will have a successful marriage relationship will overlook the imperfections of their mate. It is said that most couples, whenever they marry, they have this picture of a perfect marriage and they look at their couple as being the perfect person. And then there are all these certain circumstances that come along. Trials, we'll call them. And after the trials, they begin to see that their mate is no longer this perfect person that they married. And whenever this occurs to them, there's two things that will happen, most scholars say, is that they will try to tear the picture apart, divorce, or they'll try to tear the person apart. And friends, that's not true love. The truth be told, there's no perfect person in the relationship. Amen? I'm not perfect, she's not perfect. And you do not have the perfect mate. And if you're looking for the perfect mate, if you find them, whenever you become a part of that, it's no longer going to be perfect. You're looking for something. If you're looking for the perfect mate, friends, it's not out there. And true love, as well as a successful marriage, says, I know that my mate is not perfect and I'm not perfect. But yet at the same time, we're just going to be two imperfect people working for or towards perfection in our marriage relationship. And friends, you're not even going to be able to accomplish that. But it's continually working together as two imperfect people towards perfection as Christians in Christ. And also then, as it would relate with your relationship. A successful marriage involves a couple that continues to invest in their relationship. In the counseling that I do with couples, I love to be able to do pre-marriage counseling. Why? Because we're able to deal with areas of concern, to identify some situations even before the couple says, I do. And there's less problems afterwards. But oftentimes I am given that opportunity, I guess you would say, to speak with couples who are married and they are at odds with one another. Sometimes they're tearing each other to shreds. And I ask them, was it like this whenever you were dating? No, it wasn't at all like this whenever we were dating. The husband will say, the wife will say, no, he treated me much better whenever we were dating. And he says, I treated you much better. You treated me also much better. And she says, you used to do little things for me like opening up the door. You used to say wonderful gestures towards me that I was the prettiest woman out there. He says, well, you used to also say that I was a good-looking guy and that you just loved spending time with me. You don't do those things anymore, both of them will say to each other. Why is that? Well, somebody says, Kevin, don't you know? Didn't you realize that the honeymoon only lasts for 18 months? Friends, why does the honeymoon have to last for only 18 months? It ought to go on and on and on and on, correct? The way in which we look at one another, the feelings that we have towards our mate, it shouldn't lighten up, but rather it should tighten up. We should continue to invest in one another as if we were courting them. Why? Because courting's not just to get the ring on the finger and to say, I do, and then to drop it off, or rather it is to say, I love this individual, and I'm going to continue to invest in our relationship. The couple who stops investing, friends, that's where they have the loss. And that's where then the home suffers and the marriage falls apart. I've seen it time and time again. Continue to invest in your marriage, and your marriage will bring forth dividends that you will be pleased with and that God will be glorified as a result of. But you know, in order to have a successful marriage today, I think the number one factor is to allow God to be at the very center of your relationship. When I perform marriage ceremonies, oftentimes I will say, in fact, more times than not, a part of that ceremony is that it takes three to have a successful marriage. The husband and the wife and God is that third party. Psalm 127 and verse 1, "Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it." And I know the context there, speaking in regard to building a house that is centered in and around the Lord's house. But friends, that certainly is applicable in regard to building the home that will be pleasing and acceptable to God. When we allow God to be a very vital part of our home and of our marriage relationship, we will not fail. When we put Him at the very center of everything, we will do well in life, but we will also do well whenever it comes to having a home that is pleasing and that is glorifying to Him while we are here. Today, marriage, a match made in heaven. God has joined couples together, and He will continue to join couples together who can be joined together. And God wants us to be happy in our relationships. He wants us to glorify Him through our relationships. And friends, He also wants our relationships to endure and to love one another continually during the time of which we are here. And so that we will raise our families to be productive citizens in society, but also to be servants in the kingdom of the Most High God. While today's lesson has not been about becoming a Christian, we also want to extend the Lord's invitation to those who are outside of Christ to consider that if you are not a New Testament Christian, if you have never confessed Christ to be the Son of the living God and submitted yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, you have need to do that, to obey the Lord in baptism, and then to be raised to walk in newness of life. If you're here today, you're subject to that invitation. We want to extend it now.